Good morning. Welcome to worship. We're here more than anything else today to worship God, to glorify His name, and everything else is secondary to it. That's the way I've tried to live my life over the last 5 years and many years before, and I hope that we'll all try and do that. But here is a special place. No matter what the event is, God is here, His Spirit is with us, and that gives us reason to be optimistic and reason to be joyful in itself. So let's worship Him as we start by singing, "Your love is amazing." Lord God, it's truly amazing that we can be seen as if we were faultless, as if we were perfect, as if we were holy. And that's only because of You, only because that You absorbed our sins onto Your shoulders. You did it on that cross. And by faith, we can re-enter that place where You take off of our shoulders all the things that would weigh us down. You have revealed to us a perfect love that we can only just get to grips with. And we know that at the center, the cornerstone of the building, the one that takes so much pressure, there You stand. And even now, by Your Spirit, You're wanting to hear our prayers. You're interceding for us. You truly are an amazing God of amazing love. We just thank You and worship You this morning. Thank You that You've brought us together. Thank You that our purpose here is just the early footsteps, the fetal moments of a relationship that can lead right through into eternity itself. But thank You for the blessings of last week. Thank You for the blessings of worship. And we pray optimistically, thank You for the blessings of the next week. Because You are the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. The one who always walks, always holding out Your hands, always bidding us to come and join You in the mission of love. And so this morning we come and we praise You in the loving name of Jesus. Amen. Please take your seats. Derek's our duty deacon.
Morning, everybody. So pleased to see you all here this morning. I'm sure most, if not all of us, are aware that today is the Rouse Farewell Sunday. In other words, David is retiring from the ministry, and this is his last service that he's conducting. And he's moving away with his family, although the children are in various places already. Down to Eastbourne, so they'll be moving from Sidcup as well. So this is really our last chance to see them on a regular basis. We're so pleased that as part of this morning's worship and celebration and remembrance of all that David and Sue and the children have contributed to this church, we have specially invited guests here that David and Sue particularly wanted to invite and have present. So we're very pleased to see you. You're especially welcome here. Others are coming on because they're involved in their own morning worship services at different churches. Others are coming on for the lunch afterwards. And there is indeed a lunch in the halls afterwards. From about 1:45, 1:00, we'll be called in at the right time. And that's a bring and share lunch. But if you're a guest here, we don't expect you to bring brought any food. We'll supply that. In between that, there's a chance of a cup of tea when the service has ended. And that's actually going to take place, because there's so much going on, that's going to take place outside on the lawns. It's a nice day, so make your way out there after the service. Mingle, stay around, hopefully for the lunch, but it will be out there, and that probably adds a little bit to the safety of the situation. And of course, you can see that as part of today's service, we are worshipping the Lord in the service of Holy Communion. So that will be part of our service. If you are unsure about taking the bread and wine, there's no problem. Just stay with us and allow that those emblems to pass you by. It's not a problem. In terms of the week's events, they're all in the little sheet you've got, or pretty much all in there. And there's also a monthly sheet for September, which gives you other details of what's going on through our church. Do take one if you haven't been given one at the door. All the events for the week are listed. I just add that on Saturday, in between the prayer time for churches together in Sidcup and the family fun in the afternoon, there is a session in here for those who need to learn how to update our church website, which David Wilmot is organising. But that's by invitation only, so you don't really need to know about it, in fact. But just to tell you it's going on in case you're planning something in the church premises. Next week, David won't be here with us, unfortunately. But it will be Martha who's leading our services. And we're going to hear a bit about Soul Survivor and what the youngsters did at Soul Survivor this year. Fine. Thank you, David.
Thank you, Derek. Okay, we've had London 2012, and we're in the midst of the Paralympics. So I thought this morning we would have SBC Olympics. Now, I think, Martha, have you been attributed with the honour of being a team captain? Ah, well, there we go. This is news then. You are the team captain of the Children, Youth and Young People's Workers. And I need someone who's got lots of wind. George. You can captain the adults, okay? So it's a relay race. So first thing you've got to do is recruit people, 6 to 8 people, something like that. And what it's a raisin relay race. So you have to suck up a raisin and go from one point to the other and drop the raisin down. I want to go away and be memorable. 6 to 8, yeah, we'll see. Go on, Daniel. Yeah, go on, Daniel, join. I think Ray's, have you got 2 minutes on the clock? So it's 2 minutes. Yes, of course, which verse in the Bible it relates to? It is, of course, Hebrews 12. Let us strip off every weight that slows us down. I think adjusting the team members could have perhaps helped that. Especially the sin, and let us run with endurance, with bags of energy, the race that God has set before us. We do this by keeping our eyes on Jesus, on whom our faith depends from start to finish. And the whole of life is, we call ourselves the human race, and it's a race, it's a journey, traveling with Jesus every step of every day. Let's pray for the children as they go to their own session. Father, we thank you for the joy of being able to be together. And now we pray for the children who are going out in their own session. We pray that they will learn more of you, share together, and have fun with our leaders. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. And as the children, their leaders go, we're going to sing Great is Your Faithfulness. And as we do that, we'll take up our offering. Visitors, please just let the bag pass by. Lord God, we give you these gifts in love, the gifts here, the gifts of our bank accounts. And we just pray that they will be received in love, be it in the fellowship of this church, in its neighborhood, or across the globe, Lord. Would you please allow these tangible monetary gifts to be precious gifts of love. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, Derek, thank you.
We're going to get a chance during the lunch to say an informal and friendly farewell to David and Sue and the children. But the church leadership felt it was important to honour them and remember them before God as well and pray for them as they go into a new era in their lives away from Sidcup. So we're just going to take a few minutes now to pray for the family. I'm going to ask the whole family to come up, and I'm going to ask the leaders to come up, those who want to or can. Some are on the piano, but maybe you can leave it, Richard. But perhaps we can assemble here, and we're going to pray for them. And then if you'd be patient, I'll then invite others in the congregation to pray from your seats. This platform is fairly small, as you can see, so we'd prefer you to pray from your seats, not because you're less important than us, but just for logistics. And we hope we'll be able to, in God's presence as part of this service, recognise all that we have benefited from David and Sue's ministry and the children's. So can I invite the family to come up, please? Sue and Josh, when he's finished fiddling with his straw. And Dan and Hannah, that's right over there, and David and the leaders.
Oh, good man.
I'm not changed this
anymore. Good.
We got some leaders. That's right.
I feel like it's more.
I'm just old. Don't worry.
Whilst everyone thinks of what to pray, I was drawn to 1 Peter over the last couple of days as I was thinking of David and Sue moving on, and obviously the family as well. And I think whilst these are pertinent words to Sue and to David, they also relate to the family and all of us. So 1 Peter 1. Praise be to God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil or fade, kept in heaven for you, who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you greatly rejoice. And probably the most two important verses to all of you. Though you have not seen him, you love him. And even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy. For you are receiving the goal of your faith, the salvation of your souls. Amen.
Thank you, Roy.
Dear Lord, we do thank you indeed for all that David and Sue and Josh and Hannah and Dan have meant to us over these last 5 years. Thank you for the way that they've interacted with us, been part of our family here in the church, but helped us and encouraged us and challenged us in our own individual lives as well. We thank you for calling David to the ministry and for all that he's taught us and led us in, Lord, over these last years. And we pray that you'll bless them and honour them as they move on in their lives. And we ask this in your name, Lord. Amen.
Lord, we acknowledge that there is no retirement from your work in this world for those who believe in you. And we do pray, Lord, for David and Sue in particular, that as they move on into a new phase in their ministry, even though it's not in pastoral ministry here in Sidcup anymore, that you will go with them, that you will bless them, and that you will lead them by your Spirit and for your glory's sake. Amen.
Heavenly Father, we thank you again for the blessings of these past years. Time doesn't permit us to be able to range back over the years and remember those times when you have blessed us, particularly as a result of having the Rouse family with us. And we thank you for that. But Lord God, we're conscious of the fact that we don't know the future. And although we have diaries that have all sorts of things written in them, you're the only one who really knows what will be happening tomorrow, next week, next month, in the years to come. And we want to pray this morning for each member of the Rouse family, that you will guide their future, that you will lead them aright, and that they may respond to the call that you're giving them for these new chapters that they enter. And we ask it too for our church, that you will cause us in the coming weeks to really respond to you in every way, so that rather than holding the fort, we might be a church that moves forward in the will of God. Please grant that for the Rouse family and for our church here at SBC. Amen.
Amen.
Lord, we do pray that every single one of them will continue to grow in their knowledge of your great love for them, each one. Lord, that they will come to know more and more of that love which passes all knowledge. And may you continue to anoint them and bless them and encourage them, that they may be filled with your glory, that your glory and your transforming power will shine out from them wherever they go and whatever they do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. And now if others want to pray from their seats, then please feel free to do so, and then I'll wrap things up in a few minutes.
Heavenly Father, we do thank you that all those many years ago, David answered that call that you gave to him to go into the ministry. Lord, in many places, different places. And Lord, as we know, that also means the moving of the families around. Lord, we thank you for the support as they have worked as a couple of David and Sue over the years.
Yes.
And for the children, Lord. Lord, we thank you for them and ask that they will go on to as well, as David did great things for you as they are now. They will continue in that. Lord, we know that even though David is no longer going to be a minister of a church, he's no less revved up. And he's still a reverend. And he still has that ministry heart. And the family has that heart for you. And we know that that will continue. And we thank you for that. Amen.
Amen.
Applies to all of you. We all this week I've been praying over family, as a lot of us do. And in Luke 9 it says, I will follow you, Lord, but first let me say goodbye to my family. And this is what I've been praying over all week, that all of us are saying goodbye to not just a particular family member, we are saying goodbye to a whole extended family. So, Lord, I just pray that as we move over this next week, as the cases are packed, that, Lord, you look over the family and give them safety on their travels, Lord. Amen.
Amen.
Lord Jesus Christ, have mercy on us, the sinners.
In verses from Joshua, have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be terrified. Do not be discouraged. For the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. Father, I thank you that wherever Dan and Josh and Hannah and Sir David
So hear our prayers, dear Lord, we pray. Bless each member of this family as they move on. We thank you for their ministry, individual ministry, the children included, and all that they've contributed and brought to this church over the last 5 years. And we ask as we've prayed, Lord, that you'll go with them into the future and that they will continue to serve you faithfully. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Hannah's in the lead. Hannah?
For today is coming from Acts chapter 8, verse 26 to 40, and I'm reading from the Message version. Later, God's angel spoke to Philip. At noon today, I want you to walk over to that desolate road that goes from Jerusalem down to Gaza. He got up and went. He met an Ethiopian eunuch coming down the road. The eunuch had been on a pilgrimage to Jerusalem and was returning to Ethiopia, where he was minister in charge of all the finances of Candace, queen of the Ethiopians. He was riding in a chariot and reading the prophet Isaiah. The spirit told Philip, "Climb into the chariot." Running up alongside, Philip heard the eunuch reading Isaiah and asked, "Do you understand what you're reading?" He answered, "How can I without some help?" And invited Philip into the chariot with him. The passage he was reading was this: "As a sheep led to slaughter and quiet as a lamb being sheared, he was silent, saying nothing. He was mocked and put down, never got a fair trial. But who now can count his kin, since he has been taken from the earth?" The eunuch said, "Tell me, who is the prophet talking about, himself or some other?" Philip grabbed his chance. Using this passage as his text, he preached Jesus to him. As they continued down the road, they came to a stream of water. The eunuch said, "Here's water. Why can't I be baptized?" He ordered the chariot to stop. They both went down to the water and Philip baptized him on the spot. When they came up out of the water, the Spirit of God suddenly took Philip off. And that was the last the eunuch saw of him. But he didn't mind. He had what he'd come for and went on down the road as happy as he could be. Philip showed up in Azotus and continued north, preaching the message in all the villages along the route until he arrived at Caesarea.
Before we come to have a look at that reading, we're going to sing two more songs, opening ourselves up, getting ready to hear what God might be saying to us, audibly or in our hearts. Start with, God, I look to you, I won't be overwhelmed. You care where we journey because you want to travel with us. You care what's on our hearts now, because by your Spirit you want to continue doing business with us. So as we open up your word a little further, Lord, would you continue to minister to us? In Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. It's all going so well at the minute, so I won't say too much. I'll just say thanks. I'll say thank you for prayers, aware that not everyone can stay for lunch afterwards. So I'll keep it short and simple now, then I'll get through the sermon. Otherwise, it's at risk. But bless you for your fellowship. The words that I want to use of SBC are about privilege, and they are about thankfulness. I don't know whether you have that sense that I've brought something to you, but whatever that may or may not be, all I can say is I've received so much back. So bless you for giving to me. Bless you for your ministries to me, and especially bless you for your ministries to the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm not so far away, and I will always retain an interest in what's going on here, knowing that at the same time you need to move forward, you need to move in a different direction, and part of us is sad that we're not part of that, but part of us is content knowing that we're secure under the wings of Almighty God. There are various quotes about guidance and retirement. The one that caught my eye this week was the one, I don't know who it's not attributed to anyone, but it says that God's retirement plan is out of this world. I find that challenging, but I also find that reassuring at the same time. But for Philip the evangelist, not Philip the apostle, but Philip the evangelist, the thing that he was most concerned about was what was happening in the world at that particular time. He was concerned that he wanted to hear what God was saying by his Holy Spirit, and his heart was very much for the church, a developing church at that time. Philip appears first in Acts 6. He's one of the first team members, one of seven deacons who form the first diaconate. So I feel at this stage that it's right and proper that I just break off for a moment and give you the benefit of my wisdom in terms of the leadership team. The leadership team are absolutely amazing. Mature, thoughtful, prayerful, a really bunch to work with. But I have to say, it's always good when you've got a stream of young people coming along. You know that, or some of you will know that we're doing a growing leaders course that will continue and finish in the autumn. But it's important that we bring younger blood. So I thought giving a suggestion to you now would be helpful as I leave in terms of who might bolster up the diaconate. So this is the one that I thought was the appropriate one to groom. I thought he's got all the qualities of being a deacon. Philip was level-headed. Philip was trustworthy and responsible as a deacon. Acts 6 verse 3 tells us that he was full of the Holy Spirit and wisdom. In Scripture, those two pretty much are run together. He was capable of making good decisions and godly responses. He was involved in sorting out a little bit of a tiff over the care of the Greek-speaking widows. So he was a bit of an all-rounder. It was no accident that Philip was appointed to go and meet with that Ethiopian eunuch on the day that he did. It's not that the Holy Spirit can only use like-minded people. That's far from the truth. But in this particular case, it's quite true that Philip and the Ethiopian would have had much in common. Philip, as a deacon, as an organizer, would have seen things organizationally maybe in the same way as the Ethiopian. The Ethiopian was a chartered accountant. He was a chancellor of the exchequer under Queen Candace back in Ethiopia. Philip had this passion for the developing world. We read in the Acts of the Apostles how the Holy Spirit was really touching people. And Philip was anxious to go to the outcasts. And part of the outcasts were the Samaritans. And in a sense, the Ethiopian eunuch represents something of that worldwide mission. And both men were seekers after God in their own different ways. The meeting with the Ethiopian wasn't, however, in Philip's Google calendar. Following the persecutions of Saul, Philip had been sent to take the gospel into Samaria. His mission was so successful there that back at HQ, the likes of the apostles Peter and John were having a natter and saying, is this really happening? Surely it can't be happening in the incredible way that it is happening. We better go down there and just check out what Philip is doing. And that's what they did. It was an incredible time for the church. There were conversions, there were miraculous signs, exorcisms, healings, times for real joy in the gospel, baptisms, outpouring of the Holy Spirit. These were regular events down in Samaria. I believe that's the kind of future that the church can expect. I believe that what we've seen in the last maybe few years is something quite transformational. I believe in the church, and I also believe that it is going to grow. And I believe that it will go from strength to strength. We've seen some of it in respect of community engagement. Of course, we love the worship, and didn't we have a fabulous time last week at baptismal service? But more and more, the church is moving out, and the church is getting that kind of respect from government and decision makers. But more importantly, the community are sitting up and taking notice. They care about what the Christians are doing in the food banks or at the schools or in debt advice or whatever it is. And I believe that God will use these things. And whilst we have that real feel-good factor of what's happening now, I just believe God will use that and will send his Holy Spirit to those who are open to really bring transformation within the church, sure, but an explosion that won't be able to contain the Spirit within the narrow confines of church as often as we describe it. For those who perhaps have never really got caught up with the Holy Spirit, then it's just a brief word this morning. But the brief word is, you need to catch up. You need to catch up with God's expectations. You need to catch up with God's heart. God's heart for the people. And if you've never considered that church is a fundamental part of society and therefore that the relationship with God is key, then I can only encourage you to grab hold of some of the wisdom within this place and really get it sorted in your mind, that you too might get on board and enjoy the explosion that I believe could happen if we're truly open to God's Spirit. And so Philip was in the midst of all this excitement in Samaria. And surely the Holy Spirit wants to build on this. Philip is doing a fantastic job. So surely the Holy Spirit will just say, more, more, Philip, carry on, you're doing a great work. But then he has this strange call, and I don't know, but Philip may be saying, are you sure it's me? Because I've got a job here, God. And the job that I've got is fantastic because you're seeing all the fruits, all the conversions and all the growth. You can't mean me to go on a desert road. Sometimes do we feel that we've got a disease? The disease of indisposable-itis. That nobody else can do it, that we're key to it, and if we're not doing it, then it will fail. I just wonder if that's the case, then are we lacking in faith? Sometimes, of course, we're allowed to build on our own fulfilling ministries. But at other times, the Holy Spirit moves us on. And I'm not talking about me moving on, but moves us all on. Moves us on to different services, different ministries, different opportunities. And this was Philip's experience. In verses 29 and 39, we see that the proceedings are directed by the Holy Spirit. What a call it is. The Lord says, I'm going to take you from where you are, this wonderful filling ministry in Samaria, and I want you to go on a desert road that runs between Jerusalem and Gaza. I've got an address for you, but the road's about 60 miles long, and when you get there, you'll know why you've gone. Well, Philip must have thought, joy. What deep joy. How could God move me in that direction? Why does God do that sometimes? Why did God take Diane to Nepal? Why did God take Derek to Uganda? Why did God take Jackie to Turkey? Why did God take John to Angola and Falkland Islands? Why does God sometimes do that? It's because being a disciple of the Lord Jesus, being a servant, means that you serve with humility, you serve with obedience. And you need to share the gifting that you have received and the encouragement that you have received with other people. And you need to retain your humility in the way that you do that. So Philip stepped out in faith. He was having a great time, but he knew being within the will of God was a much greater thing. And we don't know how long it took him to go along that desert road, but we do know when he reached that point, he knew exactly why he was where he was. There was a rumbling of chariot wheels. Went to the cinema yesterday and saw Ben-Hur. I encourage you to go and see the new make of Ben-Hur, as he says in passing. I wasn't packing boxes all the time. Here, the chariot wheels were, of course, of the Ethiopian eunuch, who was reading aloud from the book of Isaiah. Nothing new about that in those days. The Bible was usually read aloud, the scripture that they had it in as such. And just in case there was any doubt, the Spirit gives Philip another nudge. Off you go. There's the opportunity. There's the man in the chariot. And Philip joins him and says, here, you're reading from Isaiah. Do you know what it's about? And then the opportunity fell into a real spiritual opportunity. He listens to what the eunuch is saying and asking, and that gives Philip a wonderful opportunity to talk about the Lord Jesus Christ. The fact that he's reading Isaiah 53 verses 7-8, well, that's how we know it, is tailor-made for opening up the scriptures and for talking about the centrality of Jesus' death and resurrection. And in a few minutes, we'll be remembering that as well as we come to the table of Holy Communion. I know we don't see many chariots going down Sidcup High Street, but I wonder how many opportunities do we miss? Maybe because we haven't got the courage. Maybe we don't think that we've got the words. Or maybe we're not praying to meet with people. Maybe we're not expecting. Maybe if we just ask for more wisdom from God, he would give us eyes to see and know what opportunities might exist, what kind of conversation we might have. And as they travel along, they come to what was probably a wadi. I'm able to say this because I've got a geography A level. And I did wadis in those days. And so the eunuch sees the water and he asks to be baptized. There's an immediate response, no need for baptismal class. Immediate baptism takes place. Verse 39, when they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord suddenly took Philip away. And the eunuch did not see him again, but went on his way rejoicing. Suddenly it's job done. And you might think the Spirit will say to Philip, okay, Philip, great job, back to Samaria, back to all the baptisms, back to all the conversions. And the Spirit says, I want you to go to the capital of Philistia. I want you to go to Azotus. That's not going to be a picnic in the park for Philip anyway. God will use people who are prepared to step out and be faithful. So what can we glean from this story? Five things I want to point to. Firstly, five ways in which God will make his will made known to us. Firstly, the voice of the Holy Spirit within. It was a voice that told Philip to get up and go. I cannot say that Philip's experience is a regular one for me, but some 5 years ago when we arrived, I'm sure that I would have shared with you that the only reason I came back into church-based ministry was because the Holy Spirit spoke to Sue and I independently. And that was a kind of a confirmation to us that never thought I would go back into church-based ministry. But having that confirmation of the Holy Spirit speaking to Sue and I separately was just so important. And if you have that sense of the Holy Spirit speaking, directing you, then you need to hear it, to receive it, and you need to share it. You need to share it that you might too seek confirmation that actually what you're hearing is truly the Spirit of God. The second thing of how God makes his will known is clearly through the reading of Scripture. The eunuch was reading from Isaiah. Scripture is not just for enjoyment, you know. It's not to refresh the memory banks. Ah, yes, I remember this. It's actually that we might hear the Word of God speaking to us. We need to make sure that it is the Word of God that's guiding us. Now, if you look in the pages of Scripture, I suggest to you that you might not find the name of the new pastor. That would be so much easier if that were the case. But what you will find are principles, a whole bag of wisdom, and particularly if you stay by God's word, then you will receive inspiration. And that's probably in this particular circumstance is one of the greatest things that you can hope for and expect. That God will inspire you both as a church to continue, as George was praying earlier, about the church continuing to grow and develop even during the pastoral transition. But when the time moves on and you appoint a new pastor, to know that it is that person, to know that you're inspired to make that offer of appointment. Third thing is worship. Now, we don't quite know what the Ethiopian eunuch was doing in Jerusalem, but we do know that Jerusalem was the centre of worship. And the fact that he was reading the book of Isaiah in his chariot almost makes it inevitable that he'd come from spring harvest in Jerusalem. And so he was all buoyed up and fired up and reading his Bible. Young people who went to Soul Survivor, you had a fabulous time. I know that. And those here, those not here. But it wasn't a one-off. Martha won't let it be a one-off. Not because she's going to book next year, which I know she will, but because it has to be a life change. What the way you felt in the tent, the marquee, the big top, whatever it was called, whatever you felt was for a purpose, for a time, and it was to grow and develop. You need to take that on board. You need to bring Soul Survivor with you and then be open to what God is saying to you. Fourthly, we see that the sharing together bit is so important. And it's so helpful when we can turn to a spirit-filled believer, someone who's full of the Spirit, someone who's full of wisdom of God. If we can turn to them and bounce off them questions that we can't understand or feelings that we don't know what to do with. So important that we share together. That's what being family is about. You won't share in the same way with everyone. We know that. But you need to share with those who deserve the respect because they're filled with the Holy Spirit. And lastly, we know God's will through by being open, by pushing doors, by stepping out in faith, by taking risks. It would have been easy for Philip to stay in Samaria. It was only in stepping out that he truly understood what God really wanted. And sometimes it comes through the pragmatics, not the glamorous. The glamorous is where God sort of gives his word and you go overseas or something like that. Sometimes we need to take risks and step out where we are, within the family, within the workplace, within the community. The reason we're going to Eastbourne, I would love to tell you it's a spiritual adventure and that we've got it all mapped out and God has led us to where we are. The reality is not. The reality is we were privileged to be able to afford a house down in Eastbourne and we liked the area. So that's where it sort of goes. But for the rest, it is a case of risk-taking, of being open to the Holy Spirit. Because you've prayed for us, bless you for the way you've prayed for us. But we don't know what ministries lie ahead of us. We want to be useful to God. I want to have a break first, but we want to be useful to God. Hannah wants to be useful to God. That's why she's signed up with Morden Baptist Church in training to be a youth worker. Just like Martha, going to St. Melitus as well. Dan would love to serve God in the developing world, in a sports capacity. That's his big dream. So he's getting his head down now and playing rugby and studying sometimes. And Josh, he's just signed up now for the Nexus College in Coventry. And he will study music and theology there. And we don't know quite what God's going to do with Josh. that didn't quite come out right. That definitely didn't come out right, did it? But we're excited. We're excited by the gift that God has given Sue and I of being together. But we need to step out. You know, it would be so easy just to sort of put my pipe and slippers on and get Sue to be the waitress and life would be so not going to happen, no. It would just be so wonderful, but no, we'd step out. We're expectant that God will use us in whatever the capacity it is. So my prayer for Sue and I and the children is much the same prayer that I have for you at this time. And that is all of us need to listen to that still small voice of God. We need to listen to what he's saying through his word. Don't put your Bible on a shelf. For goodness sakes, have it next to you. If you haven't got any aids, then blooming well get some. Because you'll find that they will stimulate you as well. Be regular in worship. Doesn't matter who's leading the service or preaching from the front. It is so important over the next period that you are together, worshipping together. You need to share and you need to discern together what God is saying to you. And you need to be ready to step out in faith. You need to be expectant. You need something wonderful to happen over the coming months and years. Because this is such a good place. I'll write you a reference. And God will use that. God will multiply it. And God will bless you. I'm absolutely convinced of that. And I just pray that you will go from strength to strength in his service. Father, I thank you for this time and this place. It's a bittersweet moment for us as a family. But we withdraw from this place with great excitement and thanksgiving and expectancy. We will look forward to hearing the news, Lord, of how the church is growing and developing and finding new ministries, new ways of being church. And Lord, I just pray that you would just pour your spirit down on this place, that you would keep the family together in unity, that they would be strong together, and that they would freely be generous to each other and serve each other and expectant of all that you're going to do in the coming days. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. As we come now to communion, sorry we're running a little bit later, but those who are coming for lunch won't matter. We'll sing together as we prepare for communion when I survey the wondrous cross.